Send a movie idea.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where it will form the basis of our new pledges to not reverse the factory's carbon emissions. The Dream Factory will keep on pumping out methane. They're not the same gas. We pump out every noxious gas. It's pretty impressive. I'm Joel, the man who puts the mate into impending climate disaster. And across from me is John Harris, a man who has actually started constructing a reverse ark, or CRA, for aquatic animals when the planet dries out. Hi, John.
Hello, mate. I love the idea. It's a big bowl.
It's a giant bowl. I imagine it's tricky to keep the predators and the prey separate in there, but you'll find a system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just pleading.
Don't worry about it.
Just pleading with the sharks.
That would be really hard, because they're like, every time they do like a Blue Planet series, they're like, and we've discovered 14,000 more species of fish.
Yeah.
So to try and get them all together is going to be tough.
And you need two per fish. That's an additional 28,000 fish. Have you ever had fish?
I thought you meant, have I ever eaten fish?
This is a new thing, right? I've been getting pretty experimental with my food. And I met this guy the other day, Captain Birdseye.
Yes, my family home has had goldfish and that ilk in various occasions.
Mm. What are they called?
They're like the classic you sort of go to the fun fair and get two goldfish, and then your parents go and buy a legitimate goldfish, and then that legitimate goldfish like immediately dies because the other two are such hardened sort
they're
of fairground
fun fair fish.
They can survive anything. 17 years and become about 4 foot long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a goldfish.
Just so lives in your micro bath. Pick, yeah.
Hey.
But I've also eaten fish.
Wow. Okay. You've lived a life, John.
Don't mean to brag.
Fair enough. You've cared for fish. You've eaten fish. You are a fish. How about some film ideas? Here's one from Oscar. Wreck-It Ralph.
Good.
So Wreck-It Ralph. I think I've seen Wreck-It Ralph. It's someone falls into a computer and they become at one with the video games.
No.
Okay. There's something. It's something like that.
A video game becomes self-aware.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like Free Guy, to be fair. No, but actually, they're all self-aware. They all live in like their own little world, and then Wreck-It Ralph.
How does the person get in there?
There's no humans.
Oh.
Well, unless I'm wrong.
I thought someone got sucked into like a Pac-Man machine.
No, I don't think there's any humans. So Wreck-It Ralph, who is essentially Donkey Kong from the original sort of Mario game. He is like a brute of a character from an arcade game. And at night, they all sort of meet, all the arcade games can meet in the middle. And he doesn't want to be in his game anymore. So he's effectively breaking the arcade by trying to go into another video game.
Okay.
He doesn't want to be the bad guy anymore.
This doesn't ring a single bell. But in this version, Shrek needs to be involved. So I reckon it's all your favorite DreamWorks characters, John. Start naming them. The guy who trains dragons. He's one of my favorites. You know, you've got some of the other guys.
He's typing.
Donkey. I've typed in DreamWorks films and the girl on the train has come up. It's not what I associate with DreamWorks.
She's there.
My favorite DreamWorks films, Shrek, 1917. Red Eye. These are, you know, these are just, they're some of the films of my childhood. Thank You for Your Service, which appears to be some sort of military film from 2017. These are all listed on Google under popular DreamWorks animation films.
What is going on?
Bridge of Spies. Yes, of course. We all remember that fondly.
So there's Shrek. DreamWorks there's film. Everything that comes with Shrek. There's the little guy who sat on the moon fishing at the beginning.
Yes. He's everyone's favorite DreamWorks character, isn't he? There's, how could we forget, Boss Baby. And Boss Baby 2. There's the Abominable Snowman. I mean, you know, they've really brought in some much-loved characters to our world. The Trolls movie.
Okay, the Trolls. That's something of note.
Kung Fu Panda. That's okay. There's enough. There's enough there.
Fine.
The film Home, which I think I had to do a lot of work for at one point. So that was not... I'm not in it or anything. I worked for a company that were doing some promotion work for Home. I didn't animate the DreamWorks film Home. And then when trying to list DreamWorks films, forgot my own directorial debut.
That would be good, though.
And of course, your friend of mine, The Croods.
Look, fair play to them, but I wouldn't say they're sort of batting out classics every time.
Well, no. Ants?
Yeah, so they all get together. There must be a Shrek video game. Maybe Shrek just meets...
Oh, maybe he's just in the video game. Yeah, I think there's a. I think one of the Shrek video games is one of those games that's like famously horrific.
Sounds about right.
I've got a feeling.
There's an era of video gaming that I do miss, which is the sort of like really quick turnaround, bang average video game alongside a film.
There was a period where every single movie had a video game.
Yeah, and I sort of miss that.
Well, not every single movie. There wasn't like Click the video game. You know, not every single movie had a video game. But would that be the worst? Like 50 First Dates, the video game? That would be pretty terrible.
Yes.
I tell you I would have gone for Dodgeball Manager 2004. Mm. Create your own dodgeball team. I mean, I'll be all over that.
Right. Shall I give you a film idea? Because we've really lost steam on this. Thank you so much, Oscar. What about this one from Beck? Last night in Ho, Ho, Ho.
Oh, okay. So I guess we've got some sort of serial killing Santa Claus. Evil. Yeah. Interestingly, evil Santa's actually quite a well-trodden path in cinema now, isn't it?
it's a cliche at this point.
It is a cliche.
Oh, great. Oh, evil Santa. Well done, mate.
Yeah, God, here we go again. Bad Santa, evil Santa. What about, who are the other Christmas guys that we haven't turned evil yet?
Grinch, he's already a bit evil.
Rudolph
would be good.
His nose is red with blood.
Exactly. Frosty the Snowman's definitely had a horror film.
Wasn't that? Didn't Jack Nicholson play a scary Frosty the Snowman? No. No, 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 no. He just froze in The Shining. That's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
I know.
That is different. No, who played him? No, it's going to be someone so different. Jack. Frosty Jack. What am I saying?
Frosty Jack's is good. For the Christmas episode of Dream Factory, remember that?
But there is...
Snowman Made Out of Cider.
Shut up. There is one. There is a film where it's like, you know, it's Jack Frost or whatever, but he's got menacing eyebrows.
There's definitely a horrible snowman.
Michael Keaton. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he's got scary eyebrows.
I would say that's sufficiently in the same universe of actor.
Thanks, man.
That I'm not... You can take that. You can have that.
Thanks. I was having a real panic then. I thought I'd invented something.
On the subject of last night in Soho, you and I went for a drink in the bar from last night in Soho the other day.
We did. We didn't see any ghosts, any killers. We weren't in there long enough, maybe.
Yeah. And I had my first ever pint of Guinness.
That's a real moment for you, John.
It was sort of spoiled by the fact that I'd had four other beers before. I really should have started with a Guinness.
And they were all stouts. And weirdly, I'd only just watched Last Night in Soho like a few days before.
And they've got lots of like posters and stuff framed around the bar now for it. And it was a lovely pint of Guinness. And if I can have a lovely drink and be in a film location at the same time, I'm sort of in heaven.
So. With just one of the greatest guys you've ever met in your life.
Joel was also there, unfortunately.
Just hanging out with just some really cool guys. That's the dream for you, isn't it, John? You kept saying that. You kept saying, this is perfect. This is perfect. And you'd slam your pint down with every word. It was really sweet. It was just like, I just thought it was like a normal sort of Thursday night out. But you kept saying, this is it. This is what life's all about. Didn't you? And then you sort of try to get a sing song going at the bar. But no one, you know, It was really sweet, actually. This is it, is what you kept saying.
Screw, don't.
And I was kind of hoping I could get home for Taskmaster, but you were saying this is it, which I like. I appreciate it. It was nice to be there for that moment for you. I mean, I've sort of forgotten that even happened, but you keep texting the guys about it, don't you? Remember the other night? I got that pint. Remember? That was it. You tried to change the group name to that was it, even though the group names had the same name for about 15 years. You keep trying to change it, and we've had to take admin away from you, but it was sweet. And like, look, I saw the tattoo designs. I think they're nice. I do think they're nice. I wouldn't put it there or necessarily in that size. But again, you know, up for discussion. But I'm just glad you had a nice night out.
I just want everyone to know that I was there when they see me.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You had that pint.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
How about this one from Danielle? A Taunting in Venice, a behind-the-scenes look at Kenneth Branagh trying to solve a murderous Poirot. But filming keeps being interrupted by Emma Thompson, who happened to be on holiday and decides to keep slagging his big, stupid moustache and accent. It's quite
good.
I like the idea that's behind the scenes. I actually think it would be funnier if a character finally in those films said, "What the fuck's going on, man? Why is your moustache that like that? Why do you talk like that? That's not the accent of a Belgian person. Who are
maybe
you?"
That's the real mystery. An actual Belgian person comes in and goes,
"What? Have you ever been to Belgium?" I've actually seen these films more than once and enjoyed them. In the second film, his moustache gets an origin story.
I heard a rumour that's true. Isn't that unbelievable?
Like, film franchises are built now on origin stories. And they were saying, look, we really like Agatha Christie's oeuvre, but the problem with it is there's no real origin story. So what we're going to do is we're going to crowbar in an origin story. And in the second film, spoilers, guys, if you haven't watched Death on the Nile, directed by and starring Kenneth Branagh. Also, I wouldn't watch it now. It's got weirdly Russell Brand in a very prominent role.
And Armie Hammer. It's a very cancelled movie.
And Armie Hammer and Gal Gadot.
It's
like, well, I wish there had been a few more deaths on the Nile, John. And anyway, so the opening scene, he's in the trenches in war and he suffers an accident and then he's in hospital. It cuts to hospital, Florence Nightingale military style hospital, and his beau comes to see him. And he's facing away like Two-Face in Batman. And you can only see one half of Poirot's face. And then they're chatting away. He's like all sad because he's been blown up in the war. And he then says, "You'll never love me again. I'm hideous," or something like words to those effect, that effect. And then he turns round to reveal a big scar on the side of his face where one might have a mustache. And then it like fades to present day in the context of the film. And he's got a big mustache covering up his scar. None of it really makes any sense. Like, the scar in the origin story is massive and horrific to the point where you couldn't just grow an elaborate mustache to cover it up. Also, I'm fairly sure if your face was blown in half, you're not just going to be, it's perfect hair mustache follicles. Hair going to grow through? Like, I thought scar hair, like where scars are, you can't really grow hair again. Also, so yeah, his moustache gets an origin story, which is quite funny.
Also, the moral of that origin story is, what, does she go, yeah, you're right, cover it?
I guess so. No, yeah, you are hideous. I love that face. Can you grow a much worse look than just a scar that's clearly healed enough that hair can grow? So yeah, and then the film ends, John, and he's shaved it off. And also,
wait, at the end of
the greatest death in that film is the Tash. But also, wow, at the beginning, he's got, you know, the thing where they had to do reshoots for Justice League when Henry Cavill was Superman, but he'd grown a mustache for a different role, and so they had to CG it off his top lip. That's what the entire opening sequence with Kenneth Branagh looks like, because obviously he needed the mustache for the film, but they've CG'd it off for the mustache's origin sequence. And then, amazingly, so the film ends and he's in a bar and he's had his mustache shaved off, right? And then it cuts to black, John, and then in the Agatha Christie font, it says, the mustache will return.
I thought you were going to say, he's at the bar and you just hear a knocking at the door.
A drink slides down the bar, he catches it, looks up, and then his mustache has passed him the drink. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
It's like a Marvel post-credit scene. And the, when I saw it in the cinema, they went berserk. The crowd of 75-year-old people that are watching it on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, they lost their shit. The mustache will return in A Haunting in Venice.
A Taunting in Venice sounds like some sort of alt-right film made about the sort of woke elite being like, oh, the new sort of crime is that someone's been made fun of and they've
died. Really? Yeah, I guess it does. Someone shouted at someone across a canal. I went to Venice once, and obviously before I got there, I knew it was pretty water-based, but it still completely blew my mind. So I was about 19, I got off a train and I just immediately fell into a canal. No, I got off a train and you walked out of the train station, and John, where you'd expect there to be a road, right?
Mm.
It's water. It's crazy. And it's like that all the way around.
I've also been to Venice.
Have you? What did you think of
yes.
it? Did it? What I couldn't really understand is that all it seemed to be was shops selling key rings. I don't know how that sort of creates an entire self-sustaining economy. People live in Venice. Surely they don't just live on key rings alone.
Yeah, that's what they have for dinner.
Yeah, that's what I worried about. Like, I couldn't find a Tesco or similar. You know what I mean? Because I was in trailing, I didn't have much money. So really what I was surviving on was buying baguettes in supermarkets and just sort of eating them amongst the pigeons.
You're not getting a cheap meal in Venice. Anyway, what are we talking about? Would you like one more idea from me? What about this one from Martin? The 39 Steps musical biopic of an enormous band. It's good.
That's really good. So the band keeps getting bigger, or members of Steps keep dying and we see the whole cast of 39 of them?
Yeah, so that's the two options. Is it like a 70s rock band where, you know, there's been like 47 rotations of members, or is it like a modern sort of K-pop band where they often do have 39 members?
I think it's 39 members. And you see fights break out in the playground about whose favourite is whose. I like Jim.
Every kid in the school class could have a different favourite.
Could have their own. Yeah, school productions, end of year productions would be sensational.
Because weirdly in my head, 39 Steps, basically you've got 8 of each member. And then one has died. one Lee has died.
Oh.
So there's to make 39.
So it's like that film, The Island, where Ewan McGregor, we all remember The Island, don't we? It's like a post-apocalyptic kind of vibe, sci-fi vibe. Ewan McGregor lives on this island in like a great big tower. I'm so bad at remembering films that I've definitely seen. And you're just seeing their day-to-day life. And they live in this tower and they sort of all have numbers and they go and do their jobs and they go back to their little capsule bed and they live like this life, robo sci-fi life. It's typical sci-fi stuff. And there's a lottery that means that you get to leave the island every so often. And it's seen as like all your toil and hard work is rewarded with this lottery. Anyway, spoilers for what I think might be 2006's The Island ahead. Imagine someone's just listening to this podcast, they're doing the washing up, and over on their lounge TV, big on the coffee table, big bowl of popcorn. It's Saturday night. I think, I'll just pop the rest of Dream Factory on while I do the washing up, actually. And on Netflix, paused, and this is one of the greatest situations you can be in when you've made the Netflix decision and it's there, ready to go. It's the timer says 1 second of 90-minute runtime. It's just there, John, The Island, right? and they're doing the washing up. They think there's no chance they're going to talk about 2006's The Island. I'll listen to this. But because they're washing up, they've got soapy hands and they can't, this is happening right now as I'm talking, they can't stop the podcast and they can't stop me spoiling The Island. So I'm about to ruin whoever that person's night is that's listening to Dream Factory right now. There's a lottery-based system, but Ewan McGregor finds out that the lottery may not be all that it seems. And so he plans to break away from the island because what's actually
I would have loved it if after all that hype, you'd have just gone, but all is not as it seems. And they just moved on.
Oh, spoiler. Are you listening to a film review? All is not as it seems. For fuck's sake, what if I was watching that film thinking all was as it seemed?
I couldn't.
I go into every film assuming all is as it seems.
That you would be the greatest sort of, you would have the most fun at every cinematic experience if you went in assuming all is as it seems.
Why do you think I love these fucking Poirot movies so much? Right. So Ewan McGregor sneaks away from the island and he discovers that everyone on the island is actually a clone and they're just being harvested for their organs by their real selves.
Oh, wow.
So you might have a
disease
or something.
Lottery,
and so when they win the lottery, they're
organs.
Getting killed because someone needs their Crikey. Heart or their lungs. Why are we talking about the island?
Because there's 39 members of STEP. So
yes, so Lee, record company has created, they're embarking on the world's deadliest tour. They're playing North Korea. They're playing a number of failed states. And they've created a tour bus full of clones.
And all of the sort of journeys between the shows are on like ice roads and
yeah.
Those,
wait, how are Steps playing every student union in Freshers Week? That kind of vibe. Hey, John, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
10 people that have never met before go to a beach off the northwest of England. The kicker is it keeps getting colder and colder by the second. I present the film Cold. It's the beach where you get colder. But really quick.
Okay.
So you know how in old, in a month, yep. you'll age a year? Well, on this, you'll get cold in a minute, the amount you would have got cold in an hour.
Wow.
No, can you imagine that? Let me tell you, on this beach, John, all is not as it seems.
Joe, this seems... No, we should talk about it... Afterwards, we should talk about your... This feels like a segue to your run, but we should talk about it in the bit after the bit.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. He's wearing his medal as we speak.
Yeah, and nothing else.
No, I love it. Great stuff. I cannot wait for the cinema to be packed with people.
For Cold?
The guy who thinks it all is as it seems will be shocked. He'll be the only one, but someone just will be shocked.
10 people off to the beach. Come on then, John. What's yours?
This one's from me. It's The Continental, John Wick style action movie at a breakfast buffet.
Great. He's flinging croissants.
Yeah, because I've said breakfast buffet, but technically, yeah, he should only really be throwing pastries and fruit. No eggs or bacon for him.
Yeah. What is the deadliest item on a continental breakfast? I tell you what it is. It's rock solid unmelted butter.
Yeah.
They made no attempt to make that a spreadable temperature. You could throw that through someone's skull, I think. You could probably shape it into a point and throw it through someone's skull, like a ninja star made of butter.
Yeah, or the little tiny pots of jam. That would also work as sort of grenades.
Perfect.
Sticky
well
grenades.
Done. Well done. Anyway, we need to go because it's funny you should mention that. Keanu Reeves has just walked in and he's pulled from his holsters two croissants on either side, spun them round, blown on them because they're fresh out the toaster. I think I might be in trouble. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. I had a fun time.
Yeah?
I had a really fun time. Yeah. I thought at the beginning I wasn't going to have a fun time, but then I did.
All was not as it seemed.
All was not as it seemed.
Tell us about, go on, tell us about your run.
At the weekend, I did a run. I ran a half marathon in Kent. It's called the Four Castles Challenge, John. And it was, I would say, a series of setbacks. There was a series of setbacks on race day. Number one, I got there. Big announcement, no headphones. You cannot wear headphones unless they are bone conducting headphones, which I thought only like the SAS were allowed. So they're headphones that you wear that somehow they communicate with your brain. I don't know what's going on there, man. And I work in the audio industry. So no headphones. If you're seen wearing headphones, instant disqualification. You won't get a time.
Crikey.
Find that out 20 minutes before I'm about to set off. Great. The run is from Deal to Dover. It's called the Four Castles Challenge. One of the other announcements was, just be careful on that first 10K, because on the back sort of 11K, that's when you're going to find out why we call it the challenge. But I thought, yeah, sure. Come on. That's just a bit of fun. He's just pulling our leg. So I ran the first 10K, nice and handy, was enjoying it. And then after that, it was just hill after hill after hill. It was endless hills. There was a couple of miles where I was just running up a steady climb with 2 7-foot hedges either side of me the whole way. No headphones, just me and my brain.
Oh, God.
Just me and my brain, John. I've literally chosen a career where I have to listen to things all day. Never listening to my brain.
You're running away from your demons.
Exactly. My demons were right there running alongside me. And then for the last 5 or 6 kilometers, yeah, pop your head out onto the White Cliffs of Dover, and you're just running into 35 mile an hour headwinds, quite often just like up steep hills. It was like, you know when it's so windy you can't put one foot in front of the other? It was like that, but on a big run. And at one point, John, my hat blew off and I had to go back and get it, which is the ultimate humiliation. Going back.
How are your cheeks? Both?
Both quite red. And do you know what? I actually thought, I will say, I ran it in a pretty good time and enjoyed it. I will say, I thought I'd avoided any sort of pain or chafing. And I got home and had a shower. And I reached for the Original Source mint shower gel.
No, Joe,
and I applied it to my
idiot.
Intimate areas and I hit the ceiling. I had to bite my hand.
That is, yeah, I mean.
It was like when they do surgery on a ye olde ship and they just make you like bite a rag. That's what I was doing in the shower. I was just biting my own hand.
Look, I have some sympathy for you, but you sort of brought that on yourself.
I did. I got too cocky.
That's tingly at the best of times.
And they are good times.
Yeah, I mean, listener, Joel is sort of skirting around the fact that, annoyingly, he's actually very good at this. He is a very good runner. So.
I finished fifth, which is quite cool. That's like a place.
Amazing.
It's like a place of people. Yeah, I know. That was fun.
I've never heard anyone sort of, I don't know anyone who's hit the top. I was going to say I've never heard of anyone who hits the top. I've heard of like Paula Radcliffe.
Where did you think races, how do you think it worked?
Yeah, so congratulations, and I'm glad you, and you had a lovely roast to celebrate.
I did. And we'll be back out there again soon. Hey, let's start the Dream Factory Running Club. If there's anyone listening, if there's anyone listening with an interest in running around, let me know. Let's be buddies on Strava. Yeah, that's cool. It's my favourite social media app. I'm going to buy it for £44 billion.
Right, we need to get on with the rest of our lives. Have a lovely week, everyone listening. We love you.
We love you.
Be nice to everyone.
Yes, keep doing it.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.